Man, this is like a clown show over here. It's three and a half clowns on the bozo meter today, kid. The way we've been operating over the last, 90 or so minutes. It's flying by, and time flies when you're having fun, and that's what we've been doing. We get a special appearance in person from Treasurer Dale Falwell here this morning. I mean, multiple people have joined the show since the treasurer has been with us, and the best treasurer the state of North Carolina has ever known. Well, I would agree, but great to have the treasurer in town. We had Representative Mark Walker a moment ago with some thoughts on the infrastructure bill that was passed. Cameron Moore with the Wilmington Cape Fear Home Builders Association has also been patiently waiting here this morning. He wants me to avoid the housing data, but, well, it's too late. Cat's out of the bag, Cam. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you doing, sir?
I'm trying to go on vacation. You want to take over the rest of the show here? Because I'll just depart early.
I can't promise that there'll be a show anymore once I get done with it, but sure. So you have a good time in the Outer Banks. I hope you have a blast.
Yeah, no doubt. And we're looking forward to it. But there's still some business to attend to, as I've got multiple friends, as you know, that are in the construction industry, within the real estate market as well, the lending business. So, we have a plethora of people that I try and pick their brains, pretty much every week ahead of you coming on. And they told me that in the month of July, as you have kind of affirmed, that for the month of July, first time this year that we've seen kind of a slowdown in new listings on the market, closed and pending sales. Mm-hmm. Is that just a blip, or is this something that we may see trend away from the red hot market that we've had for so long?
Well, and I think that's the common question everybody now is asking themselves. I mean, typically we do see a late summer slowdown kind of in that July-August time frame. Just as yourself, people are going on vacation. School's getting ready to start back in like 2 weeks from now. It's kind of crazy.
With masks.
With masks, but hey, let's get them back in school, and hopefully they stay in school. But, overall, we typically, year to year, do see a little bit of a slowdown in the overall market, and not just here in the Wilmington market. I mean, I think you could say regionally and nationally when we get into the kind of the late summer months. But the question really becomes, is this the summer slowdown, or is this the summer slowdown plus, with the caveat of what we've talked about over the last, quite frankly, Joe, two years. And it's been the construction challenges, the labor crisis. I know y'all were talking about that just a minute ago here on the show with state treasurer, and also with material prices and the increases. And so I think the housing market itself here, while I've talked about it on the last show, is certainly a bubble here. We are insulated for the most part. I'm intrigued because now we're kind of getting into that third and fourth quarter of the year, and I think what we'll see is, as we get through August, as we get to September and October, kind of that'll be the true tell sign. Was this just a summer blimp that we always see, on the radar screen, so to speak? Or is this something a little bit different where the market took a little bit of a shift?
Now, as far as on the ground, admittedly, builders are scaling back for one reason or the other. We have seen a little relief when it comes to the lumber prices that skyrocketed early part of this year, late part of last year. That has seen some ease. Now, there are still issues with material, and as you mentioned, labor shortages. There are still plenty of hurdles and obstacles that builders and the construction industry is facing, some headwinds.
There is, and actually, to kind of back this up, what we were just talking about as far as the slowdown a little bit, or just, kind of the summer slowdown, we'll call it that for now, on today's show. And we had our Builder Realtor Expo yesterday at Cape Fear Community College. It was a great event, had over 23 builders, and I dare say right around anywhere between 250 to 300 realtors come through the door. Great opportunity, networking opportunity. But over the past 45 days, I've been going to sales meetings at a lot of the major companies here in town and just having that conversation, a lot of the same conversations we've had on this show, you know, what's going on with lumber, material prices. We're going to talk about that here in just a second because we do have some good news. I don't want to come on the show every time and lead in with negative news. But, you know, I asked them, I said, have y'all felt a little bit of a slowdown? Because I sense that it's there. And every one of them in five different offices of all the major real estate companies in this town said, yes, we are starting to kind of see that. And I think a lot of them anecdotally feel like it's kind of just a summer slowdown. But I do see at some point where the construction prices and the labor and the material prices are certainly going to have a cooling effect to the market. It's just economics, right? Basic economics. But you did mention lumber there for a minute. And so we did see the futures have gone down quite considerably. They're back down around the $400 range as far as board linear foot. That's a good thing. The challenging thing is that we really won't realize any price differences, particularly on dimensional. And that's all on dimensional lumber. So, again, we talk about the sticks and the bricks, so to speak, more than the stick side, the 2x4s, 2x6s. We won't really see any price changes in the market from the consumer side, whether it be myself going to Lowe's and picking up a 2x4 or, you know, the builders getting their products from the lumber yards. I dare say probably October, November, because it just takes a while for that to kind of saturate into the market.
What about in other areas around the world and how dependent we are on certain materials, parts? I talk to trucking companies. They right. tell me they can't get a piece for their vehicle. It breaks down and it takes what used to take 2-3 days takes now 3-4 weeks. Certain areas around the world are shutting down again. Right. Manufacturing out in China, for instance, shutting down again. Are we going to have another sort of up and down sort of ripple effect in all of this? It just seems like there's a lot of uncertainty, and that's not very good for a industry that plans 1-3 years into the future.
Yeah, it's a challenge. I don't think we're going to see the GDP drop that we saw, like 32%, and then just ramp back up 32%. But I do see over the next third quarter of this year, the fourth quarter, the first quarter of next year, and second quarter, I kind of see a – it's not going to be a smooth graph. It's going to be a bumpy little graph. It's going to have some potholes in it, so to speak, and some increases and decreases. As you mentioned, a global economy. We just don't make the materials and make the houses and everything right here in Wilmington. Everything, we're a global economy. And we've talked about this before. We just can't turn the light switch on and off for our industry. And we're so dependent on that globalization as far as trucking, rail, freight, shipping and all of that. And so one little part goes bad and you can't get that part. And so now you've got other issues as far as that are going to hamper the supply chain.
There are a few things going on up in Washington that would help to, or at least work towards easing some of the workforce and labor shortages that the construction industry knows very well. The rest of the country beginning to feel some of the pain that your industry has felt for quite some time when it comes to getting young people and others into the trades. What's the average age again of a contractor, a plumber, an electrician out there? I mean, they're fading fat. What, 55 years old, the average 40, age?
45 to 48 years old is the national average right now as far as a typical trade.
So, you're just talking about just physically, eventually, the body starts to break down and you're not going to be able to be as efficient and as quick as somebody coming out of college or out of a trade school at 22, 23 years old to get the job done.
It's a challenge, and we talk about the material prices and everything else, and but the labor challenge, shortage, et cetera, has been here since the end of the recession. Before the recession, we really didn't have that much of a problem because of so much growth and activity. The labor force was pretty strong here. I'll talk about just here in Wilmington, and I think nationally it was pretty strong. But after the recession, we lost so much and we haven't really seen that come back. And then the shift has really been from, the parent side back to, college. But I think we're starting to shift away from that, Joe, and I think that's a good thing. I think I look at my kids and their generation, essentially, and then their kids' generation of what they will have. I think that vocational trade is going to come back really strong because the market is an interesting thing. And just like the construction, the real estate market, the labor market is that as well. People will find and go to areas that have gaps, that have, you know, that need to be filled. They will out, they will fill those out and sense where they are and fill those jobs. So, but it is a challenge in the sense, let's just say that material prices magically just, you know, tomorrow are fine. Well, the labor crisis is still here.
Right.
It's still here. It's going to it's persistent. It's going to exist for quite some time.
Right, there are a few things, as I said, being proposed in Washington, D.C. To help, you know, ease this workforce shortage, along with, you know, again, this cooling trend that we're seeing not only, you know, within the market this past month, but, you know, within the employment within your industry as well, as we've seen everywhere and anywhere. We'll get to those stories after, you know, the top of the hour news break, along with some local updates as far as the Unified Development Ordinance that we have been talking about for the last couple of months that the city is working through. We've got municipal elections coming up within the Wilmington City Council and a lot of the other local towns within the Cape Fear region that we're following moving into the month of November. Cameron did a great job last year bringing in the county commission candidates, so we hope to do that with some of the city council folks, those running for office over the next several weeks leading up into the November municipal race. Before we go to break and touch on some of those issues, as I said, and you know, and everyone knows by now, I'm going on vacation tomorrow. With that said, the tropics are heating up. It's the middle of the hurricane season. I saw Fred. I don't like those F storms, given the history of southeastern North Carolina and those storms that begin with F. Fortunately, it looks like that thing is going to stay in the Gulf, but there's one right behind it that may be curling up towards our neck of the woods, you know, maybe this time next week, which I hope doesn't ruin my vacation because I'll be extremely pissed. Let's just you know, put it to honestly there. But that's what you get when you rent a vacation home on the Outer Banks in the middle of hurricane season. So I get it. That's why we put down the insurance to get some of that money back.
Right.
Nonetheless, it's hurricane season. Give me the ways in which the construction industry, builders, contractors out there, how they kind of, you know, brace for a potential storm and the impact of that.
Sure. I mean, the biggest thing, obviously, stay informed with just what you're doing. Have a plan. Our builders have to have kind of two plans, not only a personal plan for their own house, but also, you know, their job sites itself. You know, a lot of the things around the job site as far as miscellaneous materials, securing the job sites. I see our members doing a really good job at that. And, you know, if we have a hurricane that comes in here, it's not really if, it's kind of when at some point. I mean, we are living in a coastal environment. You know, we'll have to kind of switch up our show, and we'll have to kind of talk about after kind of post-hurricane what consumers need to do, and considerably if they have damage, what they need to do as far as bringing on contractors and reputable contractors. I see it all the time after a storm, and I get those phone calls to where somebody unfortunately paid somebody thousands of dollars to do some work, and then, as I like to call them, kind of chucking a truck, so to speak, left town, and basically took that person's money. So we've got to do a really good job. I think the last storm in Florence, and a couple ones after that, we did a pretty good job. I know that the Department of Insurance was very vocal and out front as far as in the press, but that is the biggest thing, I think, Joe. What, you know, if it happens and we do take a hit or a direct hit or get, you know, a kind of a sideswipe, so to speak, and we have damage, we'll have to shift gears and let the consumers know where some resources are. That's what at the end of the day, that's a large part of what the association is, and giving them the tools, the resources, letting them know, you know, that these are the rules, the laws as far as general contracting. This is the dollar amount that a person bidding on your project should have. They should have insurance, liability insurance, and just, you know, they should also give you a contract. It shouldn't be a handshake deal. So we can talk about a lot of those different things, but being prepared is the biggest thing.
If and when we have to deal with a circumstance the way we did a couple of years back, I think your knowledge, insight, your connection to, 1,000 members of yours within the Home Builders Association, I think will prove a valuable asset given our platform here to really reach out to people who are likely going to need to, you know, help in one way, shape, or form.
It will. And I mean, and that's what we need to do. I mean, I take the phone calls from, unfortunately, a very angry consumer who has been taken. And it's a sad thing. And I'm not just talking about a couple $100. I mean, I had one that called and said they gave a contractor. Well, let me rephrase that. That is not a contractor. Mm. They gave this person over $10,000 to complete a job and never saw any of it completed, even started.
And they come from all walks of planet Earth all they of a do. Sudden they start
I mean,
showing up.
You know, there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, you know, we right. depending
we need
on
some of that assistance.
Depending on how bad if we ever do when we do get hit by another hurricane, you know, how bad it is, I mean, we do need outside resources. It's just a matter of, I mean, infrastructure wise, not just, you know, as far as homes, I mean commercial, getting the roads back open, the infrastructure, water, sewer, everything like that. Trees and stuff like that going down. So there are certainly reputable people coming into the market, but there's license issues that, as far as reciprocation. In other words, if I'm a general contractor in Louisiana and I'm coming to North Carolina, does that license reciprocate in North Carolina? I understand you may have a general contractor's license and meet all the requirements in Louisiana, but do you meet it here and in California? I mean, name a state, name right, anywhere right. outside of North Carolina.
Cameron Moore with us from the Wilmington Cape Fear Home Builders Association. Twice a month, we talk all things related to his industry, the housing market, the lending business, legislation being proposed at the local, state, national level that you know, impacts our lives in so many different ways. One of the hottest topics within our area, Brunswick County, again, atop the list as far as fastest growing counties in the state, according to the census data released, which is why we've been able to partner up with the Home Builders Association of the Wilmington Cape Fear area for our twice a month Construction Connection segment here on the Big Talker FM.
Keeping Leland informed. The Big Talker 106.7 FM WFBT, Carolina Beach.
All right, we're 7 minutes past the top of the hour, our final hour of the broadcast week. Cameron Moore, executive officer with the Wilmington Cape Fear Home Builders Association. It's our twice a month Construction Connection segment here on the Big Talker FM, talking all things related to the construction industry, growth, development, some of the local issues surrounding this topic, the trends we're seeing statewide, nationally. And of course, you know, we've beat this into the ground over the last several months, and Cameron mentioned it just a moment ago, that this has been a topic within his industry for the better part of the last 10 years in regards to labor shortages and workforce issues. Many other industries now dealing with a very similar sort of situation, as you can see. Many of your fine service establishments that you enjoy frequenting are, well, shutting their doors, so whether it be for good, whether it be through certain times of the week, limited hours due to the shortage of employees who want to get back to work. And there are many different variables. I know the unemployment benefits, the extra goodies that the federal government has gotten, you know, a lot of attention as to, you know, a big reason why people are staying home, that extra $300 a week or so that you're getting on top of what the state provides in unemployment. But there are other variables within that. I think that tops the list, and there are like a 1A, 1B, and 1C sort of thing that has led to that. Within the construction industry, of course, it's kind of a different story. We've strayed away from catering and recruiting young talent to take over some of the trades as we see an aging workforce within Cameron's industry. And well, as we saw the monthly job numbers come out for July, we saw some pretty good numbers. Total payroll employment rose by nearly a million over the course of last month. The unemployment rate dropped to 5.4%. And, well, the construction industry kind of mixed results, Cameron, when it comes to, you know, jobs numbers. What are some of the details as we get into, you know, underneath, you know, some of these overall statistics that were put out last month?
Sure. I mean, I think Robert Dietz, who is the national economist with the National Association of Home Builders, I think you kind of said it the best. Yeah, it's kind of a muted, it's just a muted kind of graph, so to speak. It's a muted statistic. You know, residential construction expanded by a muted 8,300 jobs in July, with really a no net gain for residential contractors. And kind of that cooling trend is what we're seeing. You know, it's interesting as I'm looking at some of these articles and some of these reports that are just coming out off the jobs report. I look at the same general articles, as far as related articles from last year in 2020, and I'll just kind of read some of the headlines real quick. U.S. posts surprise job gains as unemployment falls to 13.3% in May. Residential, residential construction hiring up more than 300,000 in the last 2 months. we don't see that here. We don't see. I mean, it's not horrible, but we're not adding. We're just kind of, you know. kind of just staying the course. Right. Yeah, we're kind of just staying the course right now. And I think a lot of that is due to many factors. I mean, obviously, COVID is certainly a major factor that's still playing out there. You know, the specialty contractors, we're seeing a much tougher time as far as the unemployment overall, because that is a specialty trade. And what I mean by that is more of your trim carpenters, plumbing, the electrical, the HVAC. As far as general residential builders, it's not that bad. It is certainly down a little bit. The other interesting thing is trying to take these statistics, and now that we have some census statistics that were just released, we just saw, and I haven't had a really a good opportunity to kind of digest all that, although I did see pretty much positive gains here within our area. I know that the whole MSA conversation is going to probably come up again, particularly I think Leland was 20-something thousand people now. But it's interesting to see, it will be interesting to take some of this and see how the jobs overall and the census statistics, how we're kind of measuring out, you know, statewide, localized here within the area, region-wise, statewide, and nationally.
Cameron Moore, once again with us from the Wilmington Cape Fear Home Builders Association to address, you know, the workforce shortage in the construction industry. We have seen an effort here in this area, whether it be through the community college, through the C-Tech, you know, school that we, the Southeast Area Technical High School, there's been an effort. There are different programs that you have been involved in with other, you know, stakeholders in the area trying to, you know, bolster employment here. But, you know, this takes time, and the tide, I think, as we had mentioned last half hour, you know, is turning as people are opening an eye towards a route that is just not, you know, you got to go to college to be successful or, you know, earn a degree, and that's your only pathway in life, because that was for a long time the message that was being sent to our kids. That message has been modified, and I think in part due to your inquiries and relationships that you've been able to craft here in the area, again with the community college, C-Tech, among some other folks in this realm. That said, there are some proposals being pushed in Washington, D.C., one by Representative Lloyd Smucker, who's a Republican from Pennsylvania. He's introduced, reintroduced the Workforce for an Expanding Economy Act. This legislation is aimed to help alleviate some of these worker shortages in the construction industry. They want to establish a market-driven visa system to help employers find more laborers. Basically, making the immigration system more beneficial to Americans and those trying to get in here, making it more easy, efficient, affordable to get people in here to fill some of these jobs. Right. Now, this has been a long time coming. I mean, immigration as a whole, it shouldn't cost you, well, your entire life savings, putting yourself in danger with a smuggler from a drug cartel to get illegally across the country, or having to wait 5, 10, 15 years to get a green card through a visa program, and another 15, 20 grand to get yourself legally here. I mean, it's just completely ridiculous the way Washington has, well, fouled up this issue along with, you know, a million others.
Well, and so a couple things there. I think you mentioned the term messaging, and I think that's what our industry has not done a very good job of, is messaging and marketing who we are, who the construction industry is. You know, you look at any good business that has a solid foundation, the first thing they have out in front is branding and marketing. Every restaurant here in town, I'll use them as a prime example. If they're not branding themselves and marketing themselves, and you go, Joe, where do you want to go out to eat for, you know, lunch today or tonight? And, you know, that's why a restaurant closes, because you never even put them in the conversation as far as where to go. So it's the same thing with the construction industry, is that we have had a very good labor force before the recession, and then we didn't. I mean, it was a wake-up call, and we're still waking up, I think, in some sense. We have not done a very good job of marketing the industry. And when I say that, all 26 trades, just from the top down, and really, you know, the salary structure, what you can make, the living that you can make, and essentially, you know, that's where we've got to start. That's going to be a major challenge. And so in the large infrastructure bill, there was actually workforce development funding that was stripped out of that bill.
Of course.
And I think this is actually a new way to reintroduce that, as far as coming in and looking at another bill. You know, what's going to happen with this? I don't know. Congress moves at a snail's pace.
And but, it's a Republican putting it in and a Democrat-controlled Congress.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be interesting. But it drives home the point that if we can't get an American labor force to, you know, market to and take these jobs that are there, we have to have a labor force. And so immigration has always been a big factor of the construction industry. I'm doing a class on basically this right now, and the whole HB1 visa program, they only allow 60,000 of those. They're gone in like a day. And they're not just for construction. They're for the whole entire, there's an industry sector, and there's countries and everything that applies to. And these aren't ways to where, you know, as far as immigrants can come in to work here legally and take American jobs. You know, you have to go through a process to show that that job is specialized or that you have a significant need above and beyond what is the workforce here. But it's very key. I mean, we, quite frankly, the Trump administration went one way, and now in the Biden administration, we're going totally the opposite way. So there's no middle ground here. I do know that the Trump administration allowed a little bit more as far as the HB1 visa program. I think the Biden administration is looking at that as well. But the e-verification system, you know, that's been here. But, you know, you're getting back to your point. It's two things: messaging and branding the construction market to the parents to showcase to the elementary school kid, the middle school kid, before they get in high school, that there is a pathway. There is a career pathway, not a job pathway. I want to highlight that. I say it all the time. You know, people, you know, just take a job just to make the paycheck. But there's a difference between a job and a career. And there are some significant career pathways. But then at the same time, we have to have a backstop as well as far as a immigration reform. We have to have that.
When we look, I'm still trying to comprehend what you mentioned there, a quick little nugget that you skipped over, that we have put together a $1.2 trillion infrastructure bill and we stripped out workforce development. I'm trying to figure out how, if we're going to put all this money into roads, bridges, tunnels, infrastructure, in the middle of a labor shortage and the inability to find people to work, particularly within your industry, which is, well, you can consider it infrastructure in many cases.
Right.
How we're going to get it done. To me, that just means, well, this money is going down the tube. And, the lawyers, the politicians, the lobbyists and others will probably benefit the most out of it and not we the people.
You're just going to see delays. I mean, that's what you're going to see. You're going to see projects. I mean, it's no different right now than what we're facing here in North Carolina with DOT, essentially, you know, all practical purposes, as they would say it. I've heard them say it. Broke. You know, the challenge of these construction projects were 5 years ago when they should have built the project was, you know, $2 billion. Now it's $4 billion because of just cost overrun. Mm. So these delays are going to cost more long term. And then, yes, your question is you hit on the nail on the head, is we've got to find enough people on the ground to build all this. So, I don't know what the magic bullet is there. Yeah,
my thought would be maybe we should work and put the focus and investment into building our young people and our workforce and then say, okay, well, now that we've got boots on the ground and we've got an army of people ready to go make this happen, right. All right, now let's – but we seem to do everything in reverse and backwards in Washington.
The paradigm shift, though, will be – and I mentioned earlier, it will be, though, that at some point and I'm not discounting college by any means in this conversation, but I think at some point, you know, the labor force itself, the students coming out of our high schools and going through the middle schools and high schools, they're going to see these voids. They're going to see opportunity. And that's when you're going to see, that's just market-driven results. And that's where you're going to see the labor shift here. And I would say within, you know, I'd hope within the next 5 to 10 years we'll start to see that labor shift. But I do think my kids, their generation, is going to have that in front of them.
I was going to say, Cameron, the next 5, 10 years, I mean, you'll be grandpa more.
Hopefully not that quick. Hopefully, 10's fine, but hopefully not that quick.
Cameron Moore, once again with us, the executive officer with the Wilmington Cape Fear Home Builders Association. Got a couple of minutes left. Let's bring the conversation to the local level. As we mentioned, and you know, we've got municipal races coming up in November. City Council will have at least one new member with Kevin O'Grady deciding to step aside.
Right.
Now, former Councilman Paul Lawler has tossed his name back in the hat. We've got Harold and Vasilios squaring off the top in the mayoral race. That's Harper, Peterson, and Bill Sappho. I think we should still go by legal names and not put the nicknames out there, and then it would really just throw a ripple into everything. Who's Vasilios and Harold? Really, Harry? Yeah, that's former Senator Harper Peterson. Nonetheless, Cameron did a great job, as I mentioned, last year in bringing in the county commission candidates. When we look at this council and how it's going to shake out, along with some of the issues coming down the pipeline that people are interested in when it comes to the planning commission, the UDO, give us kind of a local update here to wrap up this morning.
Sure. So real quick, land development code, unified development ordinance happening within the city of Wilmington. Just recently was a recommendation, had a recommendation of approval from the Planning Commission about 2 weeks ago. It will make its move to the City Council next week, I believe on Tuesday. And more than likely will probably be voted on to move. This has obviously been about a two-year process, so there's been opportunity for many different stakeholders. We've obviously been in that process. You know, I'm not going to say that we hate it. We like it. We're kind of in between on it. There's still some things in there that challenge, I think, our industry as far as the construction industry. We're going to have to kind of wait and see how those shake out. The land development code, one thing we are going to be asking the city council is to adopt this. The planning commission made a recommendation to adopt this with a January 1st, 2022 date. We are asking to extend that out a little further into 2022. And the reason that even that both of those dates are important is that there's going to kind of be a debugging process in this. I mean, you've got a 30 years worth of code that has been updated. And so what we need to do is make sure we take a project through, you know, what does it look like? It's one thing to write all this stuff in black and white in code, but does it really work? And I think we'll soon find out what sections of the code work, what sections of the code present some challenges and some headwinds, and hopefully have the opportunity to work with city staff to showcase that, and then have the opportunity with city staff and the planning commission and city council to make those changes. But you know, you mentioned politics. We've got to have a city council that is willing to make changes and keep moving forward. If we do not have a city council and we have change on the city council that is not willing to make changes and keeps the city of Wilmington moving forward, then quite frankly, this conversation's over.
And I think to the platforms and some of the things that have been said already, early on the campaign trail by many familiar names who are trying to get back into elected office, basically saying that, we want responsible this, that, and the other, which I see it as code word for, we want to pump the brakes on a lot of these things.
I mean, the city has a lot of infill projects that they're looking at, and the city is getting ready to grow up. I know everyone's like, when I-140 dropped right here in the Wilmington, it just exploded. We haven't really grown up just quite yet either. You know, density, height, and diversity in vertical construction is going to become a thing. I mean, 200-foot tall buildings within the urban structure of the city, not just here within downtown. That could be a thing. I'm not saying tomorrow. I'm not saying, a year from now. But the city itself is running out of developable land, and so we have to be more efficient, which means that we're going to have more vertical construction. And within that vertical construction, you're going to see more mixed-use projects. You're going to see more infrastructure around those mixed-use projects. You know, public transportation hasn't really taken off here. You go to Raleigh, you go to Charlotte, it is a thing, it works. You go to other areas, it just hasn't taken off there. At some point, the city's going to have to really evolve and emerge in those different segues, I think, to kind of grow up from a teenager maybe to the parent.
And we're kind of, it's like two football helmets clashing before the Monday night game with that. And there's a group of people, including some that, again, running for elected office that don't want to see that. And it's kind of baffling to me. I get it. We don't want the traffic. We don't want the density. Well, we can't really control that when we've got tens of thousands of people looking to relocate here every year. We're either going one way or the other. We're either growing or we're dying. No, is that the common way of looking at things, or at least the common sense way of looking at things, even though it might be uncomfortable that you got to deal with more traffic, or it's more like a city as no longer a sleepy little town. You look up and down the Atlantic seaboard, hate to say it, but between Myrtle Beach and, well, Hampstead, pretty much the only area that has some space on it left.
Well, and I think maybe a closing fault today is breaking news, 2020 census, bucking national trends, Wilmington area records double-digit growth. You can't stop that. It's coming. It's here. It's been here.
So it's either we're preparing and putting our best foot forward, or we're turning into Jersey.
I mean,
the reason why everyone's leaving.
And I think the code itself can prepare us. I think what we've got to do is, with the development community, be able to showcase the projects and move the market in direction. And hopefully that code, if we do have challenges, we have the opportunity to change it. If we don't, quite frankly, it's going to be some major headwinds.
We're going to be turning into another place that a lot of people are fleeing right now, because there was never forward planning to embrace the fact that the place is growing up in a big way.
Right.
I mean, you go up to where I grew up, and there are many roadways that were under construction when I was growing up. And, I know it takes a while. There are different variables that play into this, that, and the other, but you get ahead of some of these things. It always seems like we're playing from behind in this sort of, because you have to convince a good portion of the people that, making a future investment now is worth it, so then 5-10 years from now, we're not, sitting here asking what had happened and why we weren't prepared.
Right.
I mean, and then we're getting complaints from the same people, by the way.
I mean, we have to prepare for it. I mean, in the large infrastructure bill, unraveling that to see hopefully there's some money. I mean, that was the whole thing with the bridge issue. Where was that going to fall out at? Did it fall into the mix, so to speak? We have to have that infrastructure. We have to have that transportation infrastructure, not just your local roads. I mean, we have to have bridges. This bridge has to be dealt with at some point.
And we have to deal with the stormwater infrastructure issues that we have in this area.
We do. So, got to have a plan.
And we're trying to put that forward, and we're trying to keep people attuned to it. It does seem as though, again, there are certain people in the area that just have not embraced this fact as you said, double-digit growth in the area over the last couple of years.
11%, 20,000 people just in New Hanover County's population.
And that's just New Hanover.
That's
not
just New
Brunswick,
Hanover.
Which is like,
and you know how much this area feeds off one another as far as, look at all the health. The hospital and all the health stuff that happens here. But, the interesting thing is you're starting to see more of that bleed over into Brunswick County because there's a market there. You're starting to see it in Pendrick County because there's a market there. You look at the hospital, just had property rezoned up in the Porter's Neck area. So there's a market there. So they're having to expand their footprint instead of being a centralized, you come to us, they're going to them.
And that's what the market requires.
That's what the construction market does. We go essentially to them, so to speak, to the buyer.
Cameron Moore with the Wilmington Cape Fear Home Builders Association. Great conversation today with the executive officer of a 1,000-plus member group, one of the largest home builder associations across the country, let alone here in the state of North Carolina. Cameron, good stuff today, and I look forward to our conversation in a couple of weeks.
Yes, sir. You have a good vacation.
And I will indeed do that as we're 32 minutes away from a week-long vacation. Looking forward to it. We've got some business to attend to beforehand with our friend Yael Osowski with the Consumer Choice Center, and he joins us next.
Wake up, Maggie.